grow up with the NES, PlayStation, Star Wars, cartoons, and Amy's TV? Do you like to think who would win in a fight between Batman and the Master Chief? Comics, games, movies, music, and TV, they're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back. They're gonna save the world of geeks. Movies, music, and TV, they're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back. They're gonna save the world of this week and kink. This week and kink.
Who disrupts my coronation?
Everyone has been destroyed because of this freak. I won't allow it!
Hey everyone, this is going to be a bit of a weird hybrid show between Turd or Treasure and the Twig main show, as Birdman and Mr. Christopher are still off, and this weekend is the start of E3, so we're going to be focusing all of our coverage on that. So what does that mean? It means that we're merging two of the shows this week into one, so we're going to basically have like a supercharged show. I've got a bunch of quick news stories, the weird news, the standard there, but then I'm also going to have more reviews than we usually have, more like the Turd or Treasure show, so that we can get, you know, all these reviews out because they in a timely manner, so that we free up the slate for our E3 coverage, which is going to be pretty extensive. What the plan is to live tweet each of the conferences and over the course from Saturday through Tuesday, and then also after each one, record a bit of a summary of what we saw, what we like, we didn't like, and then we'll probably end up getting together with the roundtable after some time has passed to discuss E3 as a whole and maybe compare it to last year. So that's what's going to be the main programming this upcoming week. So there's going to be a fair amount of podcasts coming out. So just so we don't overcrowd things, that's why I wanted to make sure that we get this show out now. So I'm recording this as of Friday afternoon, and the goal is to have it edited and out either late tonight or early tomorrow before the initial coverage starts for, I believe, EA is up first. So without further ado, let's get into the first couple of reviews. To give you a bit of a primer on what we've got, we have the bunch of visual novel games, World End Syndrome, as well as another title, Kododama, The Seven Mysteries of Fujisawa, both of them from P-Cube. We're also going to have reviews, a couple quick ones. One of a port of Battleworlds Chronos, which was originally on the Xbox and the PS4, and now it's on the Switch. So we'll just give a quick rundown of that, as well as Neptunia Shooter, which is a little 8-bit shooter, fun sort of small game that's available from our friends over at Idea Factory. And then we also have a review from Idea Factory of Dragonstar Varnir. That's their next big title, and the review embargo ends today, so it's really timely it's going to come out. And then there's also going to be a little bit of stuff from Mill Creek as far as some DVDs and Blu-rays that have come out. So we'll get into that. So we're going to throw up the first couple of reviews, sort of like we do on Turd or Treasure, and then go into the news, then break it up with a little middle segment, go into the weird news, and maybe I'll have an on the buses story for this. If not, it's going to be more reviews. So we want to get everything out as possible so that we can then clear the slate for the crazy amount of E3 coverage that's going to be coming out. So let's get started.
Basically, he was a geek, sir.
Leave me alone, geek boy.
Holy shit, you geeks are badass.
I was given the opportunity to review two upcoming titles from P-Cube, and they are Kododama, The Seven Mysteries of Fujisawa. Don't get to say that five times fast without getting tongue twisted, as well as World End Syndrome. And they're similar on the surface in that it's the visual novel style games where you are a student going to a new school and then you get involved with girls and fan service-y stuff. but they take on some very different tones. World End Syndrome is more of the classic murder mystery, horror mystery type game. And then the Kododama has a different gameplay style that I've not seen used before. It might have been used before, but I've never seen it used before in games. Which is you make a pact with a demon, and the demon is giving you the power to force people to tell you the truth. So you go into mini game modes to basically uncover people's lies, and in doing so, it strips off pieces of their clothing, and it's fan servicey but funny and strange, and there's mini games in there. It's basically with Kododama. Here is the gameplay style: you gather clues by talking to members at the academy. Collecting clues will enable challenges for students. The more clues you collect, the more you will level up elements in your puzzle battles. So there's puzzle battles in this game, which I wasn't expecting, but are pretty, pretty fun, actually. In battle, you line up matches and combos, similar to a lot of other like puzzle fighter type games, and you build up their happy gauge. Fill the gauge completely before the moves are used up to defeat your opponent. Filling sections of the gauge will strip a layer of clothes off people and replenish your moves. Score big combos to unlock devastating powers, and so on and so forth. It's pretty fun. I've actually been playing this a fair bit when I've before I've gone to bed. I've just picked up and played a bit of the game, maybe half hour here, half hour there sort of thing. And I've been picking my way through it and alternating between that and World End Syndrome and having just a blast. With World End Syndrome, I would say the art style is a little more detailed than in Kododama, but it's still very, very grounded and interesting. You basically explore a town in that one, and you can basically romance different people in these games, and they'll get very different endings, and so there's many ways to play through both. So if I had to choose one, I would say that Kododama is probably the better game with more variety. But if you're a big fan of these visual novel games, you're gonna want to pick up both. They're both very well done, and they've gotten very, very good at doing translations of these games at P-Cube, as far as getting really good localizations. And I'm hoping that they put out more and more of these titles, because it's something that hadn't really caught my fancy before last year when I really started to play these for review. And I found that they're becoming one of my go-to game styles for when I just want to sort of, I don't really want to watch Netflix. I don't really want to play a super duper deeply involved game, but I want to still experience a story, because I'm all about story. That's why I play all those JRPGs. So for me, these are a good balance of that. If you want to pick up World End Syndrome, you can get the physical edition that includes the game, special box, includes an art book if you're in Europe. I'm not sure if that includes anything very specific to that here in North America. But there's usually something cool that you get with the physical editions here too. If you're getting Kododama, what you'll end up with is a pretty cool set of little trinkets and things. You'll get art cards. You'll also get two sticker sheets for characters, and it's nice when they put these little extras in the games. And Kodadama is available on PS4 and as well as Switch, and World End Syndrome's on the Switch. So I would go with, you know, if you can only afford one, get Kodadama. If you can afford two, get both of them. They're both pretty good. And I'm going to say they get my my seal of approval as far as visual novel games. I wasn't bored any way through. I was entertained. Good art, good music, you know, good game design. Didn't crash. That gets an A-OK in my books. It's time for my two quick reviews. Very, very brief ones. Because there's not much to say except that they're pretty good. We've got Battle Worlds Chronos for the Switch, which was a port of a title that was released as a budget release, I think $20 or $30 or so initially for the PS4 and the Xbox One. It's a traditional strategy game a la turn-based stuff like Shining Force, or like a mixture between Shining Force and something like a StarCraft type game. Super duper fun, works great on the go. No visual downgrade or anything going from the PS4 to the Switch, so it gets my seal of approval. I'm gonna say it's a good cheap game. If you like strategy games on the go and you like sci-fi stuff, pick it up. And as far as the other title in our quick reviews here, there is Neptunia Shooter. Now, it's an 8-bit styled shoot 'em up. You know, you go, think of Gradius or any of those titles that were released in the arcades or like the NES era, and set it in the world of Neptunia, and that's what you get. I played it, tried playing it with a keyboard, and it did not go so well, but then I plugged in my Xbox One controller to my PC, and it worked perfect. And I actually played a lot longer than I was expecting, a couple hours probably straight of just trying to get further and further in. It's not as bullet helly as I would have expected, and it's a pretty straight shmup. Pretty fun, and you know, it's at a discount price, I think $10-$15 or so, depending on what, if it's on sale or not on Steam. It's worth picking up, especially if you're a fan of the series. If not, and you just like a fun little shoot 'em up, give it a go. Check it out on YouTube.
Dungeons & Dragons takes you to far-off worlds full of great adventure, terrifying creatures, and wondrous landscapes. So why are you still using the dice from that old board game you're missing half the pieces to? Head over to LibrisArcana.com and get your dice collection started. For just $7.97 a month and free shipping in Canada, LibrisArcana.com will send you a premium 7-dice set, plus 3 randomly selected bonus dice every month. There's a ton of variety, so you'll have dice to suit any adventure you and your party can come up with, without looking through old board games for parts. So spruce up your next adventure and get your dice collection started today at LibrisArcana.com.
News on the march!
It's news time, so I've got a couple quick ones here for you, and then we'll see where it goes from there, depending on how much I can talk about these. We had, initially earlier in the week, we were going to talk about the makers of Divinity Original Sin 2 were teasing Baldur's Gate 3. Well, that's been announced. And how was it announced? It was announced at the Google Stadia live stream. They talked about a bunch of new deals they have with Ubisoft and other companies to bring games directly to them. I believe Baldur's Gate 3 may be exclusive to Stadia, at least on PC, because I think Google's actually investing heavily into it. So, what is Stadia? We talked about it, I think, briefly in the news before. Stadia is a project that's actually being developed at my brother's office in the Google Waterloo Kitchener location. They have studios across North America developing for it, but the main stuff's being done at his office. So he sort of saw things a little ahead of time when they were demoing it, and I had a chance to actually see it in you know, beta for him initially, and it was working pretty well. So I imagine if that test run went well, they're going to be launching it fully. So basically, there's going to be two tiers. It's a streaming service. If you have 35 meg data rate internet or more, which is most high speed connections now, or at least that, you'll be able to do 4K gaming. I personally have gigabit, so I got 1,000 down. So I'm not going to have any issues there. If you live rurally, you might be stuck. If you have at least 5 to 10 megabit, which is the lowest high speed internet access you can get, you'll be able to do at least 720p at 60 frames, which is perfectly fine. So there's two tiers. A free version where you just buy games individually like you would on Steam, and then you use their platform to play on, and that'll let you play it up to 1080p at 60 frames per second and not have to worry about any gaming hardware. This is going to change things, so you'll be able to use like a Chromecast or even like a laptop or anything, and as long as you have a decent internet connection, you'll be able to play games at max settings at those resolutions. It does work well. It's going to be pretty cool. So if you pay, it's $11.99 Canadian per month or $9.99 American, which is pretty good. You'll get access to 4K resolutions at 60 frames per second. And then you'll get some free games similar to how PlayStation Plus offers free games per month, starting with the Destiny 2 pack, which includes everything from Destiny 2. And they announced... I've seen some of the games that they've announced already and some that they're working on, and I can't talk about them, but a lot of the stuff that they've announced, like everything they've announced works, and everything they haven't announced also works, so you don't have to worry about that. There are people speculating out there, especially like Easy Allies and a lot of other, you know, big YouTube channels are speculating that it's going to be crap and doesn't work. I can tell you it works. And it works really, really fucking well. So this is going to be a big game changer. Now, they announced a Founders Pack, which is about 100, I think, American. It's about 160 Canadian. And what that gets you is a blue controller that is exclusive to the Founders Editions. You won't be able to buy them ever again after that. They're going to come in three colors after white, black, and sort of an offshoot green kind of color, which is pretty cool. Now, the controllers are... a little different than what you'd expect. They have like a little computer built in, like a little Android computer. So they don't connect to your computer. They connect to your Wi-Fi. And they then go directly to their server. So you don't ever have to go through your computer or your device to control the game. You go through your internet. So it actually reduces one step of latency, making it so that the preferred way to play would be with that controller. Because then any computer that you connect to, let's say you have a Chromecast in your bedroom, and then you have a main computer or laptop in another room, you can use the same controller on any screen that you want that you're logged into. It'll just verify the session and go. So as long as you have Wi-Fi connectivity, you'll have, you know, zero or as very little lag as possible to play the game. When I saw the thing being demoed for real before they had the controller made, it was using a Xbox One controller that was connected to the computer, and that had almost zero latency. I couldn't even feel it or see it being felt. So this is going to be even better. The controller build looks pretty cool. And in that Founders Pack, you get a Chromecast Ultra, so up to 4K gaming. You get the controller. And you also get... you get the controller, you get a Chromecast Ultra. You get 3 months of free... play, you know, credit for your account and 3 months to give away to somebody else. And you also get the ability to pick your name first before anybody else, so you can have like your gamer tag sort of thing. And then you get those free games that are being launched with it. So it's actually a pretty good deal, because the controller, I'm going to assume, is going to retail for anywhere from 70 to 100 bucks or so. And then the Chromecast already is 90 bucks on its own. So it's a pretty good deal. I've already pre-ordered it. You do not need to pay up front. You just put in your payment information and it'll charge you when it ships. So that's something that they didn't make very clear. But I actually had my brother check for me, since he works there. And he's like, yeah, if you make the order, they doesn't charge you until it ships. So get in there now before the pre-orders are gone, if you're going to get it. They showed off a few other games playing on it, and including the new Ghost Recon, which looks pretty cool. I already have faith in it. I don't know what it's going to do to the rest of the game industry. It may eventually end up killing Steam. I don't think it's going to affect as PlayStation and Xbox as much as people are thinking. I also don't think that it's going to be a big flop like people are thinking. I think it's going to find this middle ground. It's going to be it'll be the premier way to play on PC, because, you know, you don't have to have a $3,000 gaming rig. You can literally get by, if you don't want to get a Chromecast, let's say you want an actual PC, you can get by with a $300 computer and without a video card, like with just onboard video, and get 4K gaming. So it's something to think about. So that's the main story I wanted to talk about here, was, you know, in that whole presentation, the first big thing they showed was that Baldur's Gate 3 is happening, and it's not BioWare. It's Larian Studios that are really good at making PC RPGs. Apparently, this game is going to be, they said, 3 to 4 times the size of any other project they've ever done with higher-end graphics. They had to triple their studio size to do it, and I fully imagine that Google put in money to have them do that. Now, our next quick little story here is Zelda fan creates their own tabletop RPG. It says here, Nintendo's idea of role-playing is pretty light, so if fans want something with a bit more substance, it's up to them to make their own fun, like Elemental Knight has with Reclaim the Wild, a complete RPG system they've created that folks can have their own adventures through Hyrule. While it's based mostly on the structure of Breath of the Wild, there's scope to draw from influences from across the series, especially since the rulebook does a fantastic job of outlining the heart and core of what makes Zelda game a Zelda game. And then they show off sort of, this is on Kotaku's website, they show off pages and pages of information on it. You can basically find it at their homepage. I'm going to pull up the homepage right here. It is just reclaimthewild.net. So check it out if you're an RPG, you know, tabletop fan. It might be something to play. Might be something that I play with Birdman. Who knows? So that's a quick little story there. And we've also got, this is sort of breaking news. There's a massive E3 leak from Bandai Namco, Namco Bandai, that reveals basically that there is a George R.R. Martin game that was rumored to be in the works with From Software. Well, it is happening. So it's called Elden Ring. And it's basically going to be a, you know, Dark Souls game with George R.R. Martin giving the lore and directing it. Then there's also going to be a remastered version of the first Ni No Kuni. They're also going to be doing a remastered, there's a non-remastered version coming to the Switch, which is interesting. So basically, they're going to have a remastered version that works on the newer hardware, but the Switch might not be powerful enough, so it plays an original version that was on the PS3, I guess. Not much details. We'll probably have to wait till the trailers actually drop for it. And then there's a new game in the Tales series, Tales of Arise, which is going to come to the PC, Xbox, and PS4, and I cannot wait for that. So, I mean, it's a bit of a spoiler in that it's too bad it probably was going to premiere at the Xbox or something like that panel. But, you know, it almost gets me more hyped to actually see what they look like. So it's one of those cases where I think some media files were accidentally leaked early. And that's a big boo-boo for them. But at the same time, you know, good for me because now I can report on it. So that's going to do it for the news. We're going to go into a middle segment, and that's probably going to be a couple more reviews, and then we'll come back with the weird news and put out some more wacky, weird, just plain fucked up stuff into the universe.
Those magnificent bastards!
Color me kooky, but something very odd is going on around here.
You're not allowed to talk anymore.
Just a quick review here of a strange little adventure title called Adventures of Bertram Fiddle, Episode 1, A Dreadly Business. Playing this on the Xbox One, and it's one of the most unique adventure titles I've played probably ever. As far as a visual style is concerned, it has a very... I don't know, almost like a Gravity Falls meets, like a Gravity Falls meets Rick and Morty would be, I guess, the closest thing I can give it, meets steampunk turn of the century. Very interesting, very strange, worth trying. This is going to be a quick review because it's being an adventure title, you don't really want to give away too much of the story. But it's very well animated. It's like playing through a cartoon. It's probably the best way I can describe it. Like if you walked by the screen while you're playing it, you might think you're watching an actual cartoon. That's the feeling you get from it. which, you know, is kudos to the team that developed it. That's definitely going to be one that I want to play more chapters and more episodes from in the future. So the development company was Rumpus, and it's something that, you know, I want to see more games like this. I like when it's basically like you're playing an actual cartoon, and especially when it has that strange, creepy, Gravity Falls meets, Rick and Morty sort of vibe to it. So, you know, keep an eye out for that. If you have it on, if you have an Xbox, pick up the game. It's totally worth it.
What makes you qualified to be a reporter?
I'm willing to violate anyone's privacy for my personal gain and then claim with a straight face that the public has a right to know.
By the hand of Zeus, what manner of deviltry is this?
I love fake alien poop day.
Got three ones here for you of varying levels of weirdness. Starting with surgeons opened her skull to remove a cancerous tumor. Instead, they found a tapeworm. So let's check out that story. So this is from the Twin Cities Pioneer Press. Surgeons... Oh, God. So doctors had broken the disheartening news to the patient, explaining that what they thought to be a tumor turned out to be a tapeworm. Says the surgeon team was saying, you know, what the hell is this? As they slowly removed the gigantic parasitic worm. This was in Middletown, New York. They'd never seen anything like it. It's just basically an article that goes further and further into talking about how ridiculous it is. And it's something that I think is everybody is completely, completely terrified of something that's happening, like bot flies or any other parasitic thing. So basically this woman had gone in for a bunch of x-rays because she had headaches, and they're like, oh, you got a mass in there. It's a tumor. We're going to remove it. Don't worry. They open her up and it starts moving, and it's basically a multiple foot long tapeworm that's coiled up in a spot that looked like a cancerous mass on x-rays. So, next time you get a headache, it might be a parasitic worm, apparently. Gross. Anyway, moving on to something a little different. The next story is swimming pool bans men from using hair dryers on their nether regions. So, this is from the Telegraph in the UK. swimming pool bans hair dryers from men's junk, basically. In fact, there's a picture associated with it where it shows a guy lifting up his balls. It's a cartoon drawing, and using a hair dryer on his ball sack, and his gooch has a big red X through it, like it's an official sign. It says, "You'd be forgiven for assuming that the hair dryers in male changing rooms are rarely used." But it seems that men's swimming pools locker rooms are taking advantage of the facilities, and not just on their heads. Instead, in a bizarre new habit, they're using commercial hair dryers on their nether regions. Now one Icelandic pool is hitting back. The problem has become so bad that staff were forced to ask men to stop using dryers on their groins. They've even created a poster showing it happening, and it basically translates to "not on your balls." The actual title is, "This is not a ball sack dryer. Don't dry your ball sack or your butt with a commercial hair dryer in the swimming pool or the gym, or you'll be kicked out." That's what the official poster says. bald older gentlemen with hairy torsos must either bring their own blow dryers or just buy a more absorbent towel. But the phenomenon is not isolated to Iceland. Basically, saying this is happening all across Europe. Maybe it's going to make its way into Canada. I remember going to the public pools and being fascinated with old men's balls who seemed to go below their knees, which I didn't think was possible, and I'm hoping never happens to me, but probably will. but I never thought you'd actually have to say this is not a ball sack dryer. Gross, I guess. I mean, imagine the smell of burning hair if you accidentally leave it too long on your crotch. Ugh. Now moving on to the final story here. And this one comes straight from Canada, so you know it's going to be either good or boring. But this is from Global News, and it says a teen was charged with speeding. His excuse? Too many hot wings and needed a bathroom, police say. It says an apparent rush to the bathroom earned a 16-year-old driver over $1,000 in tickets, Manitoba RCMP, Royal Canadian Mounted Police, said Thursday. The teen's Camaro was clocked in at 170 kilometers per hour in a 100 kilometer per hour zone. So that's basically, I guess that would be like 90 in a 55 zone if you're American. And police said the driver's excuse upon being pulled over was too many hot wings and needed to poop. The driver received $966 in speeding tickets as well as $203 for driving without a supervising driver under Manitoba's graduated driving license rules. Basically, he had his learner's permit but didn't have his full license yet to be driving on the highway. So that's basically the story. He had to poop so fucking bad that he had to drive real fast. I mean, if you have to go that bad at that point, I mean, if it's we're talking full-blown emergency, pull over to the side of the road and just take a squat if you really have to. Because, I mean, there's no point in putting everybody's life in danger, let alone your own, going that fast on the road. Like, that's race car driving speed. So, and like, when you hit above 150, you go to 170, 180, you start to shake the car. So, and especially at 16, when you're not that experienced and you're trying to hold in a liquid, you know, fiery death hot wing poop, just don't do it. Just pull over, make your poops. Be that person that has to do that once, tell that story. Now he has to tell the story that made national news, that how he was arrested for driving too fast because he had to poop and now had to pay $1,000. Plus, he might lose his learner's permit completely and may not be able to drive for the next 2 or 3 years. Who knows what's going to happen? Anyway, you know, just don't eat wings and drive, people. That's all I can say about that. And that's going to do it for the weird news this week. So after this, we are going to head into another review, and we're going to go after that into an On the Buses segment and close it with another review, and we'll come back at the end to just talk about what's up next for us.
This is a fair request, and I promise I will not judge any person only as a teenager, and that this is no more right than saying all teenagers are drunken dope addicts or glue sniffers.
You all know that I'm a big JRPG fan, the biggest one probably in Twig and actually any of our probably any of the crews that we even talk to. I'm probably the biggest JRPG fan. Anywho's it, I got the opportunity to review Idea Factory's new game, Dragon Star Varnir, on the PS4. And what is it? It's in the vein of a lot of their other releases, if you like the Neptunia series, that sort of stuff. But slightly different art style and very unique battle system. I'll get into that in a second here, but I'll give you a bit of a background on the story. So here's the basic premise. In a world where the bones of an ancient beast tower over the land, the knight Zephy is part of the order whose role it is to hunt down witches, people seen as cursed beings for giving birth to dragons. When he is almost killed on one of these missions, two mysterious witches save him from the brink of death by feeding him dragon's blood. Granted new magical abilities for his efforts, he soon finds his fate intertwined with the witches and reluctantly joins them to fight against the Empire out to destroy his kind, ruthless dragon hunters, and with a witch more powerful than any of his in existence. Basically, It's one of those save the world type of games. Pretty standard stuff for JRPG, but I did enjoy it. The plot and story, the dialogue, the actual script is pretty well translated, pretty well done. No complaints from me here. Pretty fun game. Here's where it gets interesting in the battles. So it has the turn-based battle system, but it has three tiers. So basically, elevation is a factor. So in a unique take on the classic turn-based battle system, players basically take charge of three vertically oriented tiers. So you can be on the ground level, slightly higher, or even higher in the air. So your field of attack changes depending on what tier you're on. So instead of being a tactical thing where you're dealing with terrain when you're climbing up and down things, you can be floating in the air basically anywhere on the map, which is pretty cool and changes the way you play. And it's something I haven't seen done before in any other game. So you have the ability to fill up a dragon gauge, and once that's maxed out, you can transform and harness the power of dragons. Sort of like if you wanted to compare it to something like Legend of Dragoon, that sort of thing. Pretty fun. If you've like really weakened enemies, especially like dragons, you have the ability to devour them to obtain a skill from a skill tree. So there's unique ways you can level up and power up your characters. Super fun. Really enjoyed it. Now, basically, you have the ability to change the way the outcome of the game is by bringing dragon's blood as food for the three witches that help save you. And you can starve them. they can go crazy. You can overfeed them and they can become a dragon. You can keep them alive or sacrifice them to obtain rare items. There's a lot of unique choice in this that I haven't seen before in any of Idea Factory's games before. So it's probably one of the best ones that they've put out since they've become their own developer publisher. And it's definitely one that you're going to want to keep an eye out for. It comes out on the 11th, so right smack dab in the middle of E3. And I hope it doesn't get overlooked, because this is going to be one of those titles that might fly under the radar. But I'm hoping that you take my advice and pick it up. If you're not a big fan of JRPGs, this might be something that gets you into it, because it's got a different style of battle system than what you might have seen before or be used to. So, keep an eye out for Dragonstar Vanir.
It's time for another episode of On the Buses.
Last show, I gave a bit of a story of a crazy lady, and it was, I want to balance it out this time with a probably fun, better story. So here's the story of how I came to be known as the Giant. About 7-8 years ago, when I was probably at my biggest weight, like I was pushing like 6 or 7 bills. So, a big guy, but I was always very graceful in that I could pretty much move like somebody less than half my weight. So as I was like 600 pounds, I was moving like most guys that are 300 pounds, or I just was built like a tank. And I'm on the bus and I'm sitting at the very back where there's like a strip of 5 or 6 seats in a row. I'm the only one back there. And this woman gets on with her maybe 3 or 4. And he decides to run to the very back of the bus and sits down right next to me. And I mean like right next to me. I'm sitting there basically covering 1.5 seats, and he is on the other half of that seat, almost touching me. We're talking stranger danger mode, and I was like, I don't want to be the danger. Stop, kid, go away. And he just starts talking to me, and he's like, hi, my name is so-and-so, and what's your name? And I'm like, oh, my name's Alex. Are you here with your mom? Oh, yeah, she's up at the front, da-da-da-da-da. And the mom just goes, yells to her kid, she goes, come on down here. Don't. And he goes, Mom, I want to stay with the giant. And he just turns, you're a friendly giant, right? Well, he was in preschool or something, and they must have been reading Roald Dahl's Big Friendly Giant. So he was fascinated with me, because I'm also not just you know, big, big, wide. I'm 6'4", and just built like a tank, right? Like I said, so I'm tall and wide. So I'm to him, who's like, he's like up to my knees. He's just like, I'm a giant, right? So he's asking me stuff like, well, where giant? Do you have a giant bed? I'm like, well, no, it's a bigger bed. But I start playing along. Oh yeah. So then he ends up inviting me to his birthday party. He's like, you want to come to my birthday party? It's on Saturday. And I'm going, oh, I'll see. I might be working, but I don't know. Are you sure you can't come? Okay. And then I talked to the mom and said, you know, he's sweet and all this. And she goes, I've told him, you know, you got to be careful with people. You know, she goes, he's lucky that you're friendly and other people on the bus here are friendly. And I said, well, he said he wanted to just hang out with the giant. And she starts laughing, looks really embarrassed, and I'm just like, no, it's fine. Because, I mean, it's completely innocent. He was just, like, fascinated. He made a friend. He wanted to be friends with a giant. And I thought, cool, why not? So as he's getting off the bus, he turns to the bus driver, and he goes, can you come with me to my birthday? The driver goes, what? Excuse me? He goes, the giant and Ronald McDonald are going to be there. So he must have asked Ronald McDonald to come, too. So needless to say, I didn't actually take him up on his offer because I was working and, you know, a stranger, but it was really, really fun and cute. And it's one of those things where for every weird story that I encounter on the bus, it's always nice to have a story like that. Especially I love the little kids on the bus too. So there's that. Next week I might tell a story about how I farted in the kid's mouth and almost killed him. So yeah, I'll probably do that. We're going to balance it out with a good story and then a weird story. So that's going to do it for On the Buses.
Do you have any hobbies?
I collect spores, molds, and fungus.
Hold that thought. It's crapper time.
It's time to go through the big box of Mill Creek stuff that was sent over. Most of these titles are part of a series of like Blu-ray releases called I Love the 90s, which is where they take a Blu-ray that either hasn't been released before or might have been released before quite some time ago and repackage it with a new slip cover that makes it look like a VHS tape and with a box and with, you know, rewind stickers and all that sort of fun, Blockbuster Video type stuff. Now I've reviewed a bunch of their stuff like this in the past, so I don't need to go into too many movies because they're not new movies. It's more about reviewing the packaging or reviewing some features or things they've done with it. So, in this set, we got Excess Baggage, which is, an Alicia Silverstone movie. You have, a double pack feature where it's two movies on one disc of High School High and Mo Money. Mo Money I hadn't seen before with Damon Wayans, and it's basically like a platform for him to sort of go into the kind of characters he did on In Living Color, which is pretty good. High School High I remember seeing in theaters and loving it as a kid. It's a dumb movie, but it is one of those quintessentially 90s comedies that I don't think you could make anymore with John Lovitz. I really liked it as a kid when I saw it. And it looks fantastic on Blu-ray now. There's also Jury Duty, which I had never seen because I wasn't a Pauly Shore fan, but you know what, I thought, give it a chance, I'll sit down and watch it. And you know what, it holds up as far as Pauly Shore comedies go. And then there's Opportunity Knocks, which I had never seen before, but that was the Dana Carvey leading vehicle when he tried to do stuff on his own. It didn't quite get the success that people were probably expecting him to have after doing Wayne's World. But that being said, I think it's a nice piece of 90s pie to check it out. And then there's a couple other releases here. One is one of my favorite movies of all time. It's a guilty pleasure, and that's Double Team with Van Damme, Mickey Rourke, and Dennis Rodman. And it is so incredibly stupid, but it's still one of my favorite movies of all time. There's a point where it's Mickey Rourke post first face reconstructive surgery, but before he had the second one that completely messed him up. So he still looks like somewhat good looking 80s Mickey Rourke, even though it's the mid 90s. Now, there's crazy stuff involved with secret monks and all this randomness. You just got to know that there is a big, fight scene at the end in the Roman Colosseum with landmines, Mickey Rourke holding a baby hostage, and tigers coming to attack them, and they're saved by Coca-Cola vending machines that happen to be in the Colosseum. So if that gives you an idea, it's definitely worth watching. For all these releases that are the single releases of the I Love the 90s that I spoke about earlier, they all look fantastic on video. Some of them have Dolby, they have DTS stereo audio. Some of them have surround. A couple of them have, it's sort of all over the place with the audio. Some of them have like their transferred DVD audio. You can tell it's normal Dolby Digital, but there's nothing wrong with them. It wasn't like they were using, you know, heavy sound mixing. But the ones that have the DTS audio do have a pretty robust, improved sort of, I guess, sound staging compared to the ones that don't. But you're not coming to it for this, because these are retailing for about, you know, $7.99 or $10 American. You're looking at 10 to 15 Canadian. So you're not really worried about that sort of stuff. Some of them have special features like some trailers or some behind the scenes, but for the most part, they don't. But you don't expect that at that price point. When a new Blu-ray is like 20 some odd dollars or 30 for a premium one, when you're paying 10 bucks, I mean, that's like half the price you would have paid for the old VHS in the 90s anyway. They're dual layer discs, the ones that have, you know, two movies on them, so you're not losing any video quality, so that's good. Now, the other releases that were in this package were a couple two packs. There was the Trigger Effect and Body Count. I had never seen either of those films, and they're so 90s, but they're still good. The Trigger Effect is Kyle MacLachlan, who you probably know from Twin Peaks fame, or more recently on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And Body Count has Ving Rhames and Donnie Wahlberg, who I watch every single week on Blue Bloods, as well as David Caruso, Mr. CSI Miami Sunglasses, all in the same movie together. And it has just a great 90s feel. I put that on, put a double feature on when it was raining last few days ago, actually. And I just watched them both while I was doing work. And I found that I was actually not doing as much work as I had hoped for, because I was more pulled into watching them. So they have a retail, you know, MSRP of about $20 or so. You're probably going to find it for $16 or so on Amazon, that sort of thing. And the other title here, which is probably the one I was most excited about, was a dual feature of Brain Scan and Mind Warp. So Brain Scan has a Furlong in it, and it's sort of a semi-obscure sci-fi horror film from the early 90s. And Mind Warp. Now, Mind Warp is a Bruce Campbell film, so I was super happy to get my chance to check this out. And it's from around the same time that he did Briscoe County Jr., like early 90s. And it, to my knowledge, either if it had a DVD release before, it had been either really rare or obscure, or I think somebody told me that it had like a Twilight Time release, which was like $30 to $50 for a limited run on Blu-ray. Well, now you're able to get it for about $10 to $20, and it's the same visual quality. So Bruce Campbell fans, take note. Look up Mind Warp on Amazon or in Walmart, and you'll probably find a copy of it now in this double feature, so you get two for the price of one. So all in all, those releases, those Blu-rays, are all worth it. I didn't see really any dozen there, unless you don't like Pauly Shore, and you can just skip Jury Duty. And the final thing that was sent was Jackie Chan Adventures, The Demon Portal Saga. So what that is that's season two. So, it's going to cost about $20-25, and you get 39 episodes. They spread them over multiple discs. I didn't notice any, you know, degrading quality for putting too many episodes on a disc or anything. And if you remember as a kid, if Jackie Chan Adventures was on, it was one of the best, probably the best, like, endorsed by an action star cartoons, because all those, like, Mr. T and Rambo and all those ones were so crappy. But by, you know, late 90s, early 2000s, the Jackie Chan Adventures was a lot better. It was actually watchable. He would have his little intros, and the actual cartoon style was fun. The adventures are great, and I do like that they include all 39 episodes in one set for a fairly cheap price. So, you know, if you're a nostalgic fan, pick it up. If not, if you have kids, this is a good show to get. And because of the kind of show that it is, you don't need to have season one, but you can track that down too and pick that up and watch. But if not, you can be perfectly fine with these 39 episodes and just pop them in. So You know, not a dud amongst any of these actually this time, so I'm actually going to recommend them all. If you want to know more information about them, you can just go to millcreekent.com or go to, you know, Amazon, type in Mill Creek, and or look up any of the titles that I talked about here. They're all very cheap as far as, you know, monetary price, but you get a lot of value for that money. So it's worth checking them out. Thanks, Mill Creek, and I can't wait to see what they got coming out next. I am hoping that they send over the next two series in the Andy Sedaris films, because I was a big fan of Hard Ticket to Hawaii, as well as Malibu Express. So I think they have the next two coming out. So hopefully I'll get those to review soon. But until then, I have plenty of Jackie Chan adventures to watch, and all these movies I can rewatch whenever there's a rainy day. And that's it for this Turter Treasure / Twig, you know, super combined mega ultra, you know, Voltron show, combining everything. We are caught up now with everything we wanted to do up until E3. So what's going to come up next? On Saturday, I am going to be covering the EA stream. I'll talk, summarize it, maybe live tweet it. I will also be testing out some interesting technology streaming stuff with the Terrible Warriors. We're doing sort of a demo to see if some things might be useful in the future. I can't say much more because we're just, again, trying out some new stuff. Then on Sunday, and Monday and Tuesday, I'll be covering all of the conferences and all the coverage at E3 by, you know, tweeting about what's going on, as well as doing individual, you know, quick special episodes for each of the conferences, giving thoughts on it. And then Wednesday or Thursday, I'm going to try to summarize everything, or maybe we'll do that with the rest of the crew when we can. But it's going to be a busy, you know, Saturday through Wednesday or so. So that's going to be the main coverage. And then, of course, if there's another Nerd to the Third or any other show that we're working on, I might be recording a new episode this coming week of Mayhem Mikes on the All Elite Wrestling first pay-per-view show. And I don't know when that's going to drop, but we'll be recording that sometime next week. So it's going to be busy, busy, busy around here. And the big review that I'm starting to work on is I just got a review copy of Judgment from Sega. That's the new detective action adventure game in the same vein as one of my favorite games of last year, which was the Fist of the North Star from the Yakuza team. So Judgment, I've got a copy of that. I'll be reviewing it and releasing the review once the you know, review embargo ends, but I'm going to be working on that and whatever else comes my way. There should be some movies and stuff coming in the mail soon. And that's going to be it for me. As far as Birdman and Mr. Christopher go, they've got their own stuff that they're having to work on right now. So they're taking a break, as you'd heard earlier, from different, you know, them speaking themselves. So we're not sure when they're going to come back just yet, but it's sort of a hiatus that I said, hey, you know what? I'll take over and we'll just sort of keep on rolling. I might get some more guest stars to come on. And we'll keep going until they're all back and we have sort of a reunion show. And then we're back to normal like we always are. So until then, what am I supposed to say? Live free or die hard, whatever Birdman says. I'll just say bye-bye now.
Okay, son, now you're starting to scare the viewers.
Just act normal.
I'd ask you to do the same, but I'm afraid that ship has sailed.
Why are there so many ostriches?
But you have a game that is dipped in the f- Ha ha!
Ropey, thick, window cocking.
So guys, we'll be right back right here on This Week in Geek, only on thisweekingeek.net and many other sites where I syndicate this crap, because I'm a media slut.
I like turtles.
Loose like your mom.
That's right.
No fisting, you say. Anything else you object to?
Me lucky tater tots.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Check out our website at thisweekingeek.net for more geek content and subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Follow and message us on Twitter at This Week in Geek. And check out our Instagram at twig_official_podcast. And if you're the good old-fashioned email type, send us an email at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. We'll see you next time. And remember,
Lower your shields and surrender your listenership.
Genji 2 is an action game which is based on Japanese history. The stages of the game will also be based on famous battles which actually took place in ancient Japan. So here's this giant enemy crab.
Octodad Deadliest Catch will stagger awkwardly onto PlayStation 4. Now, although historically accurate, this game does not contain giant enemy crabs.